I don't know why people do, some people dislike this show. And what's interesting, James, is some people recently have told me, I like when I go out to protests and stuff like that, I do these sort of angry megaphone rants. And they get like 65 likes and zero dislikes. But there's always a comment there in the section saying, oh, Vinny, you're not going to get through to people if you're angry. Really? Really? The statistics completely disagree with you, actually. And they're like, learn some psychology. Really? Really? Have you ever heard of trauma-based mind control? That's some psychology for you. If you traumatize people with angry yelling and ranting, it shakes them out of their peaceful, restful slumber and lets them know that there's some actual, real Shiite Muslim going down. And, I mean, look. The human race is being controlled. The human race is being exterminated. The human race is being completely undermined. And you expect people to be calm because that's the only way they're going to come across? Are you freaking retarded? Are you out of touch with reality? Yeah. I mean, quit making excuses, all right? Sure, it might make you uncomfortable, but that's good. You don't learn anything unless you get out of your comfort zone. So I don't like about people, man. They think that being comfortable for their entire existence is something that's actually beneficial to them. No. It's like sitting on your ass for your entire existence and never getting any exercise is beneficial for your existence. Your muscles atrophy. You become weak. Get some emotional backing, ladies and gentlemen. Get angry. Do something. Anything. Not because you have to, but because you freaking well should. Okay? It's the right thing to do. And eventually, you'll learn to control these emotions and you'll be able to put them out. Because, you know, most of the shows, I'm particularly calm and, you know, very reasoned and that kind of thing. And occasionally, I'll get angry, but sure, who doesn't? You know? Sorry for having real emotions. Maybe I should just, you know, wear a Masonic tie and have it choke the life out of me like a leash. And my very special guest is still James Wright. And I wanted to ask you, at what point did Freemasonry go from the supporters and funders of the American Revolution to cast off the evils of the crown? How did it go from that, bearing in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that most of the founding fathers were Masons, how did it go from that to a satanic occult organization? How did that happen?
Well,
when did it happen?
Well, it was mainly the roughly 1820 to 1880, there was an explosion of corruption in the order. Then from 1880 to 1900, there was an equal explosion of this occult stuff in the order because, okay, you'll have Masons who will defend the place and say, oh, well, but when you talk about people like Aleister Crowley or the Golden Dawn or the OTO and these things, well, that's not Freemasonry. So you're talking about, you're comparing apples to oranges. Well, no, that's misinformation because the fact of the matter is you can select any single occult order, secret society, any of them. You pick one, put all their names in a hat and draw one out. And what you're going to find is it was begun by Freemasons who were creating a sort of a new sect, if you will. That's the way that the Golden Dawn came to be. MacGregor Mathers, Aleister Crowley were all 33rd degree Masons who were basically bored with the goings-ons that they found, I guess, to be not quite occult enough or a little bit stale. And so they expounded on that and took it in directions of high magic and the Kabbalah and so on and so forth. Now, before Crowley, over at the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, that was actually founded in Germany by a guy named Theodor Royce. Royce was a descendant of the Bavarian Illuminati. So here again, you have this merry-go-round of Freemasonry was always in existence. But then you had the Bavarian Illuminati, which kind of stemmed from that. But then the Bavarian Illuminati was outlawed in Germany, so it transmutes and it becomes the OTO. Then the OTO, working in conjunction with Freemasons, gives birth to the Golden Dawn. Then the Golden Dawn takes over, and as far as high magic and all that is concerned, and starts putting its initiates in key places around the world. For example, that generation, Mathers, Crowley, Bailey, Blavatsky, all of them, their proteges and aspirants were the next generation of names like Jack Parsons, Israel Rigardi, L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology. All that stuff goes back to Masons and the Golden Dawn working hand in hand. So, I mean, my analogy that I make is once you get to be a 32nd degree Mason, it's basically the equivalent of stepping through a doorway into a hallway full of doors where these other things come about. And this is why Freemasonry is so favored by these other occult orders and the intelligence communities as well, because they prefer to do their recruiting from there. So CIA people, MI6 people, a lot of them come from that pool. They're picked, they're headhunted from there. This is another reason why Freemasonry's got to go. And there's a vested interest in it not going away because of this power structure. That power structure collapses, the House of Cards comes down, then this corruption and everything goes away. So as far as when was that transition made, roughly 1820 to 1880. And that's when suddenly the Scottish Rite comes out of nowhere and seems to be the new boss of everything Freemasonic. I mean, it's really uncanny. But this
when and where was the Scottish Rite established, and who established it?
It was first established in Charleston, South Carolina, by Albert Pike and those types. Pike took a loose set of Masonic degrees that didn't really come from here or there. They were just sort of being traded around on the American frontier for money. You know, a guy comes into a town and decides, you know, okay, I need some money to eat and drink and find lodging and everything else. So he would sell, oh, you know, I got this from a guy who got this from a guy that it came from Europe somewhere. So Pike takes all these degrees and reorganizes them into the 4 through 32, and then the 33rd as well, system that is now known as the Scottish Rite. And that's why they worship him as practically a demigod, because they call him the father of the Scottish Rite for having done all that. And that's when, because at the same time, Freemasonry was also trying to reinvent itself and recover from the Morgan affair and the killing of Joseph Smith and the fallout with the Mormon church and all that. They'd really, really almost been run out of business in the mid-1800s, at least in America. And so the Scottish Rite was sort of a Band-Aid, a fix-all, or whatever to all of the controversy that was going on at the time.
You know, that sounds like in the 70s, communism had a really bad name in New Zealand and around the world. So the people in the Communist Party changed their name to the Progressives. And suddenly people thought that, oh, well, communism's bad, but we can vote for the progressives. That's completely populated by communists. Is that the same kind of thing?
Yeah, basically. Or you could also equate it to politicians and lobbyists. The Freemasons being, well, both. I mean, if you make the rules of the game and then you play the game, it's going to come out in your favor all the time. That's the nature of the corruption in it.
Now, you mentioned the Morgan affair and Joseph something. I'm not familiar with those cases overly.
The Morgan affair was William Morgan. He was a Mason out of Batavia, New York, and Joseph Smith was the founder of the Mormon Church, who they call their prophet. I don't that's really neither here nor there. You know, I think Mormons tend to be shiny, happy people, but their religion is a little bit wacky for my taste. In any case, William Morgan and Joseph Smith were the two most famous open, brazen Masonic assassinations of history that created such an outcry that it almost saw their complete undoing in society. And so they basically had to pull back and hide out in private homes and things like that for the remainder of the 1800s until the Scottish Rite reemerges in America, and then the Golden Dawn kind of emerged over in Europe and then spilled over into America. And they've always sort of run parallel. I mean, and I always knew about the Golden Dawn, but then moving to Los Angeles, I got a real big, heavy, too close for comfort dose of it. And its members definitely think of themselves as both Masons and Golden Dawn initiates.
Mm, that's the otherwise commonly known as Golden Dawn. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And you kind of skirted over this, and I actually wanted to know do you know the actual details of the Morgan affair, like what he did, how they assassinated him, what his life was like up in those final weeks, months, years, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to write a book about Freemasonry, William Morgan. They found out about this before it could even be completed and published and all that. They kidnapped, they had him jailed for bogus charges. And then when he was coming out of the jail, a horse-drawn carriage pulled up in the year 1826. And they kidnapped him off the streets of New York and took him to Fort Niagara, where he was murdered. And the entire population found out about this. I mean, the killers bragged about it. And it created such an outcry that it actually resulted in the formation of the anti-Masonic party, which later became the Whig party in America. You had people like John Quincy Adams and Millard Fillmore and all these former glorious presidents and people came out very publicly and condemned the entire order, as did most of America and the world at the time. And then, of course, the Joseph Smith thing was the same type scenario, except that Joseph Smith was a Mormon, was a Mason before he was a Mormon. So it is postulated that the Mormon temple rituals are basically one and the same of the Masonic Blue Lodge rituals. And the Masons sort of felt that he plagiarized that material and gave it to the unwashed masses or whatever. And so that sort of sealed his death sentence. They had him thrown in jail, same MO, except they walked into the jail and just shot him at point blank range and said, you know, good night. And those two events together really almost did end Freemasonry. And
it spent the last almost 200 years recovering from it.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's how much damage a couple of insiders can do. You know what the problem is, though, James? They had to be killed before the public stood up and took notice.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the way it is with a lot of things. It's very unfortunate, but, I mean, it's a matter of people just, they've got to arrive at a conclusion in their own minds that, okay, that's enough. I don't want to live in a world like this, and so we take action. I mean, I've been out taking action, but I mean, I'm one person. I can only be at so many places and speak. I mean, I do this all the time. I speak and I speak and I go to protests and I march just like you do and all this kind of stuff. But so many people are still just either asleep to it or they are awake, but they just, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, they don't want to get involved. And, I don't know. Let me go grab something real quick. We'll have a little show and tell real quick.
And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this. Those of you listening on the radio, I'll have to describe what James is showing us as he does it. And, you know, it occurs to me that there's really quite a lot of material to get through, and you can't just listen to one show or two shows or even 10 shows and suddenly know everything there is to know. I mean, like, this is the result of what would take somebody maybe 10, 15 years of pretty intense research in order to really come to a lot of the conclusions that James is simply giving us straight off the bat. And that's the opposite of the mentality of Freemasonry, where they don't tell you the big secret until you have paid your dues. So anybody listening to this who's questioning it or whatever, you haven't paid your dues yet. You ain't got the background behind you. You're simply jumping to a conclusion that we're laying out for you based upon all of that diligent work.